This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, November 16th, 2009. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, The Poet and American Power. Robert Lowell is known as the father of confessional poetry, but Lowell was also obsessed with American history, and he wrote many terrific poems far from the confessionalist mode. July in Washington is one of the most effective political poems I've ever read, and joining me to listen to it and talk about it is Michael Hoffman. Michael Hoffman is a German-born poet whose poems, translations, and prose frequently appear in Poetry magazine. I have him on the phone from Gainesville, where he teaches at the University of Florida. Hi, Michael.
Curtis, hello. Hi.
Hi. So a few years ago, you included this poem, July in Washington, in your selection of Lowell's poetry, which was published in England by Faber and Faber. So you're obviously a big Robert Lowell fan, and you know a lot about him. But what do you like in particular about this poem?
Well, this comes from a wonderful book for the Union Dead. July in Washington comes before Buenos Aires and then Dropping South. And it's sort of sees America in a context, in a kind of vegetable context.
A vegetable context? Well, I guess we'll hear...
The breeding vegetation he has. It's almost like the anecdote of the jar, like the Stevens poem, the sort of collision between stone and growth.
Uh-huh. July in Washington was first published, I believe, in 1964, and it was just as the Vietnam War was really heating up. And he doesn't mention Vietnam in this poem, but to me, when I read it, it seems like it must have been on his mind when he wrote it. What do you think?
It's interesting. I hadn't thought of that, but I think there is such heavy growth, and it's so jungly that I think it must be. The image is not one he that occurs in the poem, but you could think it's about dropping a 10-ton weight on a paddy field or a huge piece of jungle.
Yeah, nothing so graphic happens in this poem, but let's listen to it, and we'll talk more about it afterwards. It's really a terrific reading, and it was recorded at the Woodbury Poetry Room at Harvard.
July in Washington. The stiff spokes of this wheel touch the sore spots of the earth. On the Potomac, swan white power launches keep breasting the sulfurous wave. Otters slide and dive and slick back their hair. Raccoons clean their meat in the creek. On the circles, green statues ride like South American liberators above the breeding vegetation. Prongs and spearheads of some equatorial backland that will inherit the globe. The elected, they come here bright as dimes and die disheveled and soft. We cannot name their names or number their dates, circle on circle like rings on a tree. But we wish the river had another shore, some further range of delectable mountains, distant hills powdered blue as a girl's eyelid. It seems the least little shove would land us there. That only the slightest repugnance of our bodies we no longer control could drag us back.
Wasn't that a wonderful reading?
Wow. Yeah. So sonorous for once and so plangent.
Yeah, and so well-paced where you really can absorb it. He doesn't rush his way through it.
Yeah.
Now, he's clearly, to me at least, he's clearly portraying Washington, D.C. as the hub of an empire that seems to span the globe. Do you see it that way?
Yes, I do, and I think it's almost a torture empire. Those first two lines are really like a horrible mantra.
The stiff spokes of this wheel touch the sore spots of the earth.
It's a sort of girdle of pain. It's as though America kind of girdles the world with this pain.
Yeah, and the second image, it must be some illusion that I'm not picking up, but it reminds me of some kind of classical illusion, to some vision of the river leading to hell or something.
On the Potomac, swan white power launches keep breasting the sulfurous wave.
Am I missing something with that? What does that do for you, that line?
I don't know. I mean, I'm spokes and spots goes into Potomac, yeah. Land-wise. he likes his animals. He likes his animal likenesses, and these boats seem like creatures. I think power launches is a sort of pun on power, political power, launching power, launching a party.
But it's the sulfurous wave. Which
sulfurous
is,
gets you, yeah.
Yeah, which strikes me as stinks of hell to me.
Nasty nature, corrupt, horrible nature.
Yeah.
Otters slide and dive and slick back their hair. Raccoons clean their meat in the creek.
There's a kind of innocence about it everywhere. I mean, you'd never know whether things are good or bad. They behave the way they do, whether they're these power launches. I mean, they can't help it, sort of. And the same with the otters and the raccoons. It sounds a little bit sinister, but it's nature. It's just the way things are. Politics is nature, I think he's perhaps suggesting.
On the circles, green statues ride like South American liberators above the breeding vegetation. Prongs and spearheads of some equatorial backland that will inherit the globe.
Now, I lived in D.C. for a couple of years, and there's a lot of traffic circles. It was designed by a Frenchman, and there are statues, and I don't know if they're green statues, but the idea of portraying them, as he does in this poem, as South American liberators above the breeding vegetation, that makes us seem like a banana republic.
Yeah.
Do you think he was trying to do that?
I do, yes. It may be where the July in the title gets into the poem. Everything is growing wildly.
Yeah, it's extremely humid in Washington, D.C., as everybody knows who's been there. And it does seem rather jungly.
Maybe it might as well be some sort of little tin pot place, as you say in England.
Yeah. And then comes the most beautiful, or I don't know if it's the most beautiful, but the most memorable line for me in the poem.
The elect, the elected. They come here bright as dimes and die disheveled and soft.
He's describing our elected representatives. What do you make of that?
It's very free. It's very sort of oratorical. You know, it has these sort of characteristic Lowell mismatches. You can't, something that resembles dimes, how is that going to get disheveled? I mean, you have a kind of wild authority.
The way I read that, and this is probably way off, but I thought he was speaking rather metaphorically, rather directly about politicians. They come with a hard purpose. They come here bright as dimes, very shiny, full of vim and vigor, and the corruption of Washington political life gets to them after a while, and then you develop a big old paunch, and you get very soft and eventually die. That's the way I was
reading that. The humidity is sort of moral sort of monetary as well, pecuniary humidity.
Yeah.
The elected is this Calvinist doctrine where people are either elect or depraved. I suppose in the context of the poem, it would give rise to a certain sanctimoniousness or kind of unquestioningness of the people who think they have been anointed. But I suppose they are the ones to whom Lowell says we cannot name their names or number their dates.
We cannot name their names or number their dates. Circle on circle, like rings on a tree.
Yeah, he's tying it back to nature again, I guess, right? Like rings on a tree.
And there's something sort of indistinguishable and unknowable about these figures. They're like, you know, grains of sand or something like that. It doesn't really matter. And circle with this sort of hideous Dante background. I mean, these are all big villains.
Yeah, this should be required reading for Joe Lieberman, I think,
I don't know what things were like then, but it certainly sits on now.
Yeah, doesn't it? It really rings true today. And then he brings back the river.
It's like the River Jordan, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
But the other side is the promised land, isn't it?
But we wish the river had another shore, some further range of delectable mountains. Distant hills powdered blue as a girl's eyelid.
You see heaven in this image, wishing the river had another shore. Draw that out a little bit. What else do you see in that?
Heaven and you know, maybe the sort of continental America, the American interior, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's some sort of hankering for the Rocky Mountains or the Blue Ridge Mountains, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And then the final image of the poem is complex. I've puzzled over this a fair bit.
It seems the least little shove would land us there, that only the slightest repugnance of our bodies we no longer control could drag us back.
Here's my reading. Here's my reading of it, which may be totally preposterous, but I couldn't help but think that the speaker in the poem is identifying the American power with kind of an old man who wants young flesh and is held back only by the repulsion of his own body.
That's what it is, isn't it? I mean, the old man is going to have his way.
Yeah. The repugnance of our bodies.
Which, again, are elected bodies, I think, or unelected or unelectable or undelectable bodies.
Yeah.
I think there's things sort of play through the poems. I mean, I think it is all written in this sort of free and loose way. It's not like a row of bricks. I mean, there's sort of something here, something there.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I mentioned before, this poem came out in 1964, just as President Johnson was dramatically escalating the war in Vietnam. And as we're recording this, President Obama is trying to decide whether to escalate the war in Afghanistan. Yeah. Yeah. Does this poem speak to you about our current predicament?
Definitely. You know, absolutely. It's so applicable now that I can hardly think it could have been applicable then.
Yeah. Well, apply
I mean,
it for it. Think about
America as a juggernaut.
An uncontrolled, a barely able to control itself juggernaut,
yeah.
Right?
And I see the last six lines as being wistful, as being, you know, I can see it as carnal. I mean, the old man and the powdered blue eyelid girl.
Mm.
But it also seems to me to suggest a wish that things might not be like this.
But we wish the river had another shore. Some further range of delectable mountains, distant hills powdered blue as a girl's eyelid. It seems the least little shove would land us there, that only the slightest repugnance of our bodies we no longer control could drag us back.
Thanks, Michael.
My pleasure, Curtis.
Michael Hoffman's selected poems were recently published by Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. You can read a review of it by Daisy Freed that was originally published in the October issue of Poetry Magazine, and it's on our website, poetryfoundation.org. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, where you can also write a review of it, or you can let us know directly what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.